The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
You don't let anybody answer a question, and if you don't have a question like this lady over here, you tell her to shut up. What are you afraid of?
The reason why I do that is because I get sick and tired of hearing the sob stories from kikes. I get sick and tired of seeing Uncle Tom here sucking up, trying to be a white
man. Go ahead, Roy, go ahead. No, let me tell you. You're a delicate kid. Hey, hold it.
Ah, the sweet sounds of riot. No, you should have been there 27 years ago today, on November 3rd, 1988, in an epic brawl with racist skinheads on my old daytime talk show in Times Square Studios. I got my nose broken. I was winning the fight until one of the thugs threw a heavy metal chair. And all that war broke out in front of a live audience. Epic. I'm telling you, it'll be in the Museum of Broadcasting someday. Going back, it goes on and on. You got to check out Geraldo.com. You see the
video. Oh, it's a great fight. I can't believe people haven't seen it.
Three million views on the Geraldo.com. So aside from that anniversary, 27 years ago, 8 years ago today, November 3rd, 2007, former senator, soon to be Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, was leading the freshman senator Barack Obama in the race for the Democratic nomination for president. 4 years after that, November 3rd, 2011, black businessman Herman Cain was leading former Governor Mitt Romney in the race for the Republican nod. So I bring up those walks down memory lane to make a point, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing this morning? Today's surveys may not be reflective of what happens when the voting actually starts Monday, February 1st, still about 3 months from now. But for what it's worth, I'd love to hear from you all, 866-GERALDO, about what you think the early surveys are worth, because there's been another stunning reversal of fortunes in the current race for the White House. You've been hearing Noam reported all morning. A new Wall Street Journal NBC poll finds Ben Carson back on top of Donald Trump. I know yesterday I told you the opposite was true, that Trump was back on top of Carson. Well, guess what? Wall Street Journal, NBC News has Carson at 29% of the GOP primary voters, Trump favored by 23% of those who were surveyed. So you got Carson 29, Trump 23. And you have Rubio and Cruz continuing to shine. I guess you'd call it shine. I mean, certainly compared to Jeb Bush or some of the others. So you have these two 44-year-old Cuban-American freshman senators are in third and fourth place, respectively. You have Rubio at 11, Cruz at 10. And the former hapless front runner, former Governor Jeb Bush, stuck at just 8. So you have Carson 29, Trump 23, Rubio 11, Cruz 10. Carson's the big news. His support tripled since July. And even though it's early, and my point in taking you down memory lane is that it will almost certainly change before the February 1st voting. But don't you think it's time to start taking the retired neurosurgeon more seriously? I mean, his support comes from so-called values voters, those who attend church regularly, earn less than $75,000 a year. But there is a whole lot of them in the Iowa caucuses, and that is the first in the nation vote on the first. So before I take your calls, with their respective surges, predictably, both Dr. Carson, especially Dr. Carson, and Senator Rubio, targets this morning and last night of the Trump trash and burn machine. Here's Donald.
Well, I like Ben, but Ben can't do the job. I mean, there's no question about it. He can't do the job.
What
he's
mean?
Not going to be able to negotiate with China. It's not his thing. He doesn't do
Why?
That. Because it's not his thing. It's not in his wheelhouse. He's never done it before. And I don't think it's, you know, meant for him. These are people, they come at you, they're fierce. You know some of the deals I've made with China. I've made great deals with China. I beat China all the time. I love doing it. But that's what I do.
You don't think Ben Carson can do that, rise to the
occasion? I don't think he can do that. I think he cannot make deals with China. I think he cannot make deals with Japan. If we don't start taking back our jobs, if we don't start taking back our money, our finances, our base from China, we are in a situation which I don't think is recoverable. And I will do such a job. I have Carl Icahn lined up. I have the greatest people in the world lined up.
What do you think it is about Ben Carson that a lot of people are going, Mom, there's something about him.
I really don't know. I think he's a nice person. I like him. But I don't really understand it. Now, Ben is very weak on immigration. He's very weak. I'm very strong on immigration. And Rubio is horrible on immigration.
All right, that's Trump attacking Rubio with a kind of backhand. His main thrust, though, was taking on Dr. Ben Carson. Youssef in Long Island is on the line. Hey, Youssef, what's up?
How you doing, Geraldo? We've spoken a couple times before. I'm an ex-skinhead, and I remember that episode of your show vividly. I remember watching it on a Friday at my girlfriend's house down in Florida. And, you know, I come to find out later on I knew some people that were in the audience that were on the non-racial skinhead side that I met later on, and they told me, they gave me some of the inside scoop of everything that was going down, like how, you know, even like while the episode was going on between the non-racist skinheads and the racist skinheads, how they were fighting back and forth, like during the commercials and stuff like that, and how they had
It was intense. So why were you a skinhead? Tell me.
At that time, I was confused and dumb. That's really what it was. I was angry, you know, and dumb, and just, you know, looking for myself. As you know, a lot of youth did, you know, trying to find it through nation and, you know, and through, you know, one's race. I was never a neo-Nazi or a white supremacist. I was more of a white nationalist. But then as I got older, I realized that, you know, it just didn't gel with me. And then as you can see by my name, Youssef, in the early 90s, I accepted Islam. So it just goes to show how...
So wait a second. So you went from being a racist white skinhead to being a Muslim.
Let me reiterate. It wasn't racist because I wasn't a racist. My stepfather, who I was raised by, was African-American. I was just more of a white nationalist. You know what I'm saying?
What is that? What is a white nationalist? What is that?
Well, you're having like excessive and overly proud of your white heritage and the white race and... And like at that time, if you remember, in the late 80s, there was a lot of racial pride amongst African Americans and stuff. And I guess it was like a deemed as like a counter view. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah. So countering black is beautiful. You had white is beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I was on the fringe of it. I also listened to a lot of racial music. You know, like I'm sure you're familiar with some of the bands because of you're doing this episode in that time. And, you know, but I found after some time, I just thought it was just idiotic. And to have this overly excessive pride just because you made it to be a certain skin tone was ridiculous to me.
All right, Youssef, good luck to you. I appreciate the call. Thanks. And the
Thank
trip
you.
Down memory
have a
good lane. One. All right, man. So, you know, we have Trump and the other Republicans whining still about the CNBC debate. President Obama in town last night for a fundraiser. I thought this was his funniest, most confident statement, and we'll talk about it after you hear it. He is President Obama taking great pleasure poking fun at his macho rivals for the Oval Office. He is a president.
Have you noticed that every one of these candidates say, you know, Obama's weak. He's Putin's kicking sand in his face. When I talk to Putin, He's going to straighten out. Just looking at him, he's going to be... And then it turns out they can't handle a bunch of CNBC moderators. If you can't handle those guys...
country you know, is doing so poorly.
What's your response to the
well,
president?
That's just, I say, you know, the CNBC, first of all, the tough questions were asked of me. I'm the one that wasn't complaining. I just think you
they
should
They tried to blow you up in the first question.
Well, it was the most unfair question. This guy Harwood, I think he ruined his career, was the most unfair question.
Well, you called him on it. You said that's not a very nice question.
I called him, and I called Kasich also, and I called a lot of people. And, you know, I love the debates. I've never debated before, and I've done well with the debates. I like the debates. I mean, they really serve a great function. They serve a great purpose. But I will say, as
just
far as...
Just respond to the president, yeah.
Yeah, I just think he's done such a terrible job. I mean, he's good with the little ad-libs, but he's done such a terrible job as president that I think, frankly, and of course Hillary's done a horrible job, and, you know, Sanders blew it up when he gave away the email thing. I think sure. He just lost. It was like saying, I want to have a nice little sound bite. I'm going to have a lot of fun. But in the meantime, he lost. He's over. Assuming Hillary doesn't get in trouble with the emails, which, frankly, she right. should, but she probably won't because she's being protected by the Democrats because everyone else got in trouble with what she did.
All right, there's Trump responding on Fox and Friends. He was terrific. And my friends and colleagues on the program did a good job. Trump came on with a purpose. The purpose was to, he's very reactive, Noam. He's very reactive. A poll comes out, shows him down, he has a reason for it. When a poll comes out, shows him up, he gloats and pounds his chest about it. But I wonder, is Carson for real? I mean, is he Herman Cain? Is he kind of the flavor of the month, Michelle Bachmann? Or is he for real? It's 3 months, and last time around, 3 months out, things changed a lot before it was before the first votes were cast. But I think it's a fair question about Dr. Ben Carson. Is he for real now?
You know, for sure, you know, you can look at this poll and you see and you add up the numbers between Donald Trump and Ben Carson and you realize that people want an outsider, obviously. So we've cleared that. So now the question is, which outsider do we want? Do we want Donald Trump or do we want Ben Carson? And it's hard to know. I mean, looking at this, this is the second poll now, right? Second national poll.
Well, it's 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
It's 2 out of 3 because Trump won the one in the middle.
That's right.
But this one is outside the margin of error. That's why I noticed it.
6%.
And these are two pretty solid groups that I don't think have a particular axe to grind. The Wall Street Journal is, you know, it's a corporate sibling to Fox News, and they join with NBC News. I mean, these are pretty straight shooters, and for them to find their methodology was that they spent money on the poll. It wasn't one of these fly-by-night outfits. They spent money on the poll. The poll seems scientific. I took market research. There's such a thing as a margin of error, but now Carson, even with the margin of error figured in, is leading Trump. And I'm just wondering why. I just wonder, would anybody listening right now, are you going to vote for Ben Carson? If you are, I want to hear from you and why. Because, like I said, he is attracting the values voters, the people for whom things like gay marriage, even though the Supreme Court has ruled that gays have the constitutional right to get married, Ben Carson's still fighting that fight. He's a creationist. He believes in the Garden of Eden. He does not believe in abortion under any circumstances, as far as I know. Do you know anything else? No, I mean, isn't he abortion is out no matter what, no matter when?
Yeah, and, you know, look, for sure that appeals to the very conservative voters that tend to vote in these primaries. But you know what the interesting thing is? That national poll shows Ben Carson ahead. But if you go state by state, minus Iowa, if you go state by state after Iowa, so you go New Hampshire, South Carolina, and then forward, Donald Trump, it's not even close. Donald Trump has a commanding lead in state by state. So you wonder, what does this national poll mean if you go individual state? He's winning. Donald Trump's winning all the individual states.
It ain't nothing, though. It ain't nothing. But Iowa, on the other hand, could be nothing. I mean, remember, Rick Santorum beat Mitt Romney in a very close contest, and Newt Gingrich was leading to the very end in Iowa. So we know how that works. New Hampshire, I think South Carolina probably the best indicator who the nominee is going to be, but it is fascinating. I can't get over how we are so obsessed with it that maybe it's just because we're in the business, but still, you come to work and you see a new poll, and it's the most exciting thing. The president was in my neighborhood last night. You know, I didn't know. I was walking the dogs, and I noticed the cops had closed the cross streets. They had closed them last week to repave Madison Avenue. I wonder if they were repaving Madison Avenue because they knew the president was coming. But anyway, they had 88th Street, 90th Street, I think 92nd Street also, all closed between Park and Madison. So I go up to the cop when I'm walking the dog, say hello. I always do. I feel a real bond with the men and women in blue. So I say, what's up? I thought it was a medical emergency. There's a lot of seniors in the neighborhood. He said, no, the president's on 87th Street. So he was in one of those fancy apartments on Park Avenue Apartments on 87th Street for this big fundraiser for the DNC. So it was clear that, I mean, his visit to Manhattan, at least, was clearly political. But because he had those earlier drug stops, I want to talk about not drug stops. He had the earlier stops at the drug rehab place in Newark, and then also to Rutgers in Newark. You know that the trip got written off as a taxpayer-funded trip. Is that right? I mean, they all do it. I know they all do it. But you know, you paid for him to be on 87th and Park last night making money for the Democrats. Is that a good idea? You can let me know. I want to talk about the substance of what the president said and did in Newark yesterday. And you had Governor Christie, remember him? He was in Camden yesterday crying about Obama being in Newark, taking credit for some improvements in law and order stuff. But when I talk about the president specifically, about the president's plan to help former inmates get a job once they get out, get a second chance instead of a return ticket to prison, and ask you what you think about that.
Another thing I didn't like about him, and I don't like about him, he should have been more loyal to Bush. I was told, I didn't know him at all, I was told that he would never run because Bush was his mentor, Bush really helped him, Bush did things that, well, I said, all right, good, because I'm a very loyal person. I'm an extremely loyal person, to a fault, frankly. But, and maybe I'd rather have it that way than the other way. He was very, very disloyal to Bush. I don't like that.
All right, Trump taking on Marco Rubio, talking about how Rubio turned against his friend and mentor, the older man in Florida politics, Governor Jeb Bush. Bush now trailing all these surveys. Bush down to 8% in fifth, mired in fifth place in the NBC Wall Street Journal national poll. Carson 29, Trump 23, Rubio 11, Cruz 10, Bush just 8. Okay, let me hit our friend Laura in Harlem calling 866-HERALDO. Hi, Laura. What's on your mind today?
Hi, how are you? Oh, my goodness, I got a cold again, but I think I can speak a little. You know, my main concern, Geraldo, is the foreign policy. If we're in trouble, if we're not protected and our lives are in jeopardy, nothing else is going to work for us. And Dr. Carlson is not the person. I mean, his foreign policy, I have to agree with Trump with that. That's what I'm pondering now. Hillary may be somewhat in foreign policy, but I don't trust her in anything else.
I don't know anything about Dr. Carson. Laura, thank you. I don't know anything about Dr. Carson's foreign policy. I just don't know. Has he mentioned anything about it? I don't know. Maybe Scott knows, calling from New Jersey. What's up, Scott?
Hi, Geraldo. I wanted to say I am a recovering Democrat. the party left me in 1992 with the election or nomination.
Bill Clinton.
Of Mr. Clinton. But in that time, I haven't seen many candidates who really get my attention the way that Ben Carson does. The integrity with which he carries himself is
refreshing. What about my question about his foreign policy? You know anything about Dr. Carson's foreign policy? I don't even know if he's traveled abroad.
Well, you know, I think that I don't know enough in that regard, but many of his positions, though they may be far right, I think, and I'd like to think, that within our checks and balances, that his far positions won't come to realization.
All right, let me ask you this, Scott. Do you believe in heaven and the Garden of Eden?
Yes. Well,
so
I believe in
heaven. Is that an important part of why you are favoring Dr. Carson?
That isn't particularly the reason, but it certainly helps to know that he has a firm basis in Christianity.
All right, great. Great, Scott. Fair enough. No, I dig it, man. Fair enough. And good on you. And thanks for calling. Fresh, if you get that for me, I'd like you to hear what the president said about giving prison inmates a second chance. I'm coming to your calls momentarily, 866-ERALDO. I just want to give you this this news flash. A guy named Ahmed Chalabi, I knew pretty well, a prominent Iraqi. He was living in exile prior to the March 2003 election. Dick Cheney and Ahmed Chalabi were probably the two men most responsible for George W. Bush's disastrous decision to invade Iraq. He's a secular guy, a Shiite, really very fluent in English, very charismatic. He was the favorite of the Pentagon back in those days, back in the aughts. He had a lot to do, as I said, dragging us into that quagmire there. He never really flourished. Anyway, he died of a heart attack, 71 years old. He was living in Baghdad. Ahmed Chalabi, a big part of my life, interviewed him many times back in those days as I went along with everybody else, including Hillary Clinton, in following George W. Bush and John Kerry as they disastrously engineered the war in Iraq that still has not ended. Trump really had that right when he said, that before we got involved in the Middle East, you had Iran versus Iraq. They fought each other for 8 years. This country would advance 2 inches. The other country would advance 2 feet, back and forth, back and forth. Then we got involved and became the common enemy and helped unite them. But just a disastrous policy, buddy.
Yeah, just, you know, it's better when they shoot at each. I know that's a terrible thing to say, but it's better when they shoot at one another and we're not involved. I mean, I think it works. Sure. It works out better for us. Why don't you know? Why stick our nose in the middle of it?
All right, I'm gonna bring you what the president said in Newark. Not yet. Let me take a couple of calls first. 866 Geraldo. We're gonna start with Eileen in New Jersey. Hi.
Hi. Is this Geraldo?
It is, and you're on. What's about?
Oh, hi. What are you thinking about? Three quick statements. Number one, with this statement he made last night, how about he gets behind our returning veterans and getting them jobs before the criminals? Number two, I'm 70 years old. When they were talking about going into Iraq, it was well over 9 months that they dithered about it. And in those 9 months, Iraq had plenty of time to move their weapons of mass destruction and all that stuff. And number three, the silent majority, I think you guys are all going to be overwhelmed in 2016 because there's so many of us that don't run our mouths on, you know, national TV and everything like that, that are just sick of the way things are going, sick of the lies.
So who are you planning on voting for? Can you tell us?
Any Republican that comes across the board. And if,
Who's your preference? If you could pick who that Republican would be, who would you pick?
It would be Donald Trump. It would be Ben Carson or Carly Fiorina or Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is an established Republican would be Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz, so you gave me four different choices.
Yeah.
But basically anyone wearing a Republican label.
Well, it's all according to who this Republican National Committee is going to put up for us. You know, so I'm telling you, I think...
Did you watch the debates?
Everything they can to keep the three in bed with the politicians.
Three outsiders.
Yeah, the outsiders, yeah.
Okay.
But it's,
so who... Did you watch the debates? Did you watch the debates?
Oh, yeah.
And?
Well, I'll tell you what. I hope they keep up the work that they're doing for the simple fact that it's about time that the media gets told and they're not afraid of the media. And quite literally, Geraldo, I watch The Five. I watch all of you guys all the time. And I don't watch many of the other news channels because they do an interview. You listen to what the people say. And then as soon as that person is off of the television, the talking head says, well, what they really meant was, and in comes their opinion when you listened to what these people actually said. And it's sickening. I'm so sick of the media. It isn't funny.
Okay, I hope you're not sick of me, honey.
No, you get me a little bit crazy every once in a while, you know, because you get...
That's what my wife says. Thank you. Thanks for calling. Okay, one more, and then I want to play you what the president said in Newark. He is Al in Ocean County. What's up, man?
Yeah, well, how you doing,
let me ask you a question before you tell me.
Hold it, Al.
Yeah. Before you tell me what's on your mind, is heroin as crazy as we're hearing in Ocean County? Do you see it everywhere there?
Well, I'm in a senior citizen community. I'm 82 years old, so what do I know about that? You know,
yeah,
no junkies
there. At least not the kind that shoot up.
Not that I know of yet.
Okay, buddy. All right. So what's on your mind?
The reason I would vote for Ben Carson is because, first of all, he's a moral man. That's number one. And I believe what he says he believes is true. And he's not a politician. Now, the thing is, you know, we're going to go, if he became president, you said, well, what does he know about foreign politics? What does he know about that? Is there a format for what a president should be? I believe a president should be a moral man, be able to work with people, listen to what people want, not what a party wants. And the other thing is that you got going to have Republicans against this guy because he's not the establishment, and they're only in for power. They don't represent the people. They represent themselves. And I would believe a man like Carson would represent the people, and that's one of the reasons I would vote for Ben Carson if he had a nomination.
I got you, Al. Thank you very much. You know, okay, Crash, let me hear. Here's the president yesterday at Integrity House, which is one of these programs that gives those leaving prison inmates and particularly the addicted. It's a state-funded drug and residential treatment center. The president said it was a model for the good work that's being done sporadically around the nation. Here's the president.
There are people who have gone through tough times. They've made mistakes. But with a little bit of help, they can get on the right path. And that's what we have to invest in. That's what we have to believe. That's what we have to promote. The ultimate goal is to make sure that folks are law-abiding, self-sufficient, good citizens. And everything we do should be designed towards that goal. And if we're doing a good job there, then crime will go down.
So one of the things that the president is proposing is that they do away with the box, ban the box. You know, the box that that says did you ever serve time or were you ever convicted of a crime? What the president is proposing is that the federal government ban that box, so you have no idea whether the person who is your prospective employee ever spent time in prison. Later in the process, after he's hired, he or she is hired, then you can find out. But what they're doing is they're banning it in the early stages, so the applicant has a fighting chance to get the job and is not summarily excluded because of their criminal records. So what do you think of that? And remembering what Eileen said, should the president be focusing now on this population of ex-cons, or should he be, in her view, doing more for, say, the veterans, some more noble population group? Is he paying too much attention to a group that has already screwed society, gotten arrested, gotten in trouble? Should the president care about them, or should he, focus on groups that are more law-abiding, more useful citizens? Now, I'll tell you what I think. I will tell you what I think, and I'll let we'll hear from Noam as well about what the president said in Newark last night. Welcome back. 51 minutes after 10 o'clock. There is no doubt, ladies and gentlemen, that we have to break this cycle of incarceration. You know, a kid gets in trouble as a teenager for some relatively minor offense, but then they get out, then it affects their residency in public housing. It affects their ability to get a job at the municipal level, to join the police force, the fire department, sanitation. Any of those kinds of jobs are closed to them. It affects so many so negatively that many just stay on that treadmill, you know, they have a life of crime. They deal drugs, then they get busted, then they get out, and they, you know, they can't get any money, can't get any jobs. What they do get is the middleman gives them more dope to sell, and they get larger amounts, and it goes on and on and on and on. What the president wants to do is to ban the box. In other words, make it impossible for employers at the early stage of their job interview to know that that someone had committed a crime or been convicted of committing a crime. What do you think of that idea? Here is Selma in Ridgewood. Hi, Selma.
Hi, Geraldo. Not for nothing, in my opinion, our president's trying to... He can't pass the reparations, so he's going to get rid of a lot of things that could help people that should be in jail. And I'll tell you one thing. To become to work for the president himself, you have to fill out about 30 documents in order to qualify for the job, Secret Service. Now, however, if you hire a person that's going to be a waiter, let's say, for instance, and the guy happens to have anger management issues and he's been in jail for stealing, for beating, or, and you get into a tit for tat for him, he'll knock your face out. That's one thing. And furthermore, the fact is that, yes, there are a lot of children that are in trouble with drugs early on. And therefore, disclosure is important to everybody, including disclosing that the drug pusher has not yet been taken care of. And that's the issue here. The issue is that our country has to go after the drug pusher. So there are no young kids destroying themselves. I have a relative that's been in jail 4 times, a crack addict. He's been out, he married a wealthy woman. He robbed all her jewelry. He's been in jail, and beautiful young person, but he can't overcome his drug addiction. So you cannot say off the cuff like this here, I'm going to give him that second chance, because unfortunately, too many people are not, they can't overcome their addiction and their problems. So disclosure is important.
But
yes,
does that mean you don't try? Does that mean we write him off? Listen, I've been victimized. We had you know, my key assistant became a junkie or relapse. I didn't know he was a junkie before because no one told me.
Uh-huh.
But then he became an addict again, and he robbed me, robbed all the neighbors. He was pathetic creep of a person. You know, now he works for drug rehab. I think he's straight. I mean, I don't know.
That's another issue altogether. For instance, if I'm qualified for a job, why am I necessarily giving a job to a person who's broken the law all over the place? We go overboard on everything. We need to learn how to back off and do things slowly. Give a person an education, not just give them a job just for the sake of giving them a job.
Okay, Selma, thank you. Thank you very much. No, I'm way in. What do you think?
You know, I look, you can do both things at the same time. You can help veterans who desperately need jobs, and you can help these people coming out of prison the same way. And I think, you know, economy-wise, we pay for it. If they end up back in jail or if they commit crimes, we as society.
It costs a fortune to keep someone behind bars.
Of course. And so we're not...
On the other hand, there are some people who really richly deserve to be off the street.
Well, and we're not talking
about... You've got to make a real distinction between those who are violent
jacket
types
and that's,
and those who rob their moms.
And that's what the president's doing here. I mean, he's not talking about violent offenders. He's talking about these people who, in my estimation, a lot of them, unjustly behind bars for numerous years for drug charges, mild drug charges at best. And these are people who could be productive members of society. Yeah. So you got to give them a shot.
I agree with that. So I researched this. We've been researching this. Who pays for the president's fundraiser trips? Because he went to Newark, then he came to New York to make some money up in my hood on the Upper East Side, 87th and Park, a big fundraiser up there, some big swank apartment. So who paid for it? So you have a lot of different investigations that have gone on. CBS News is reporting that it's impossible to figure out how much the Democratic National Committee actually picks up for fundraising events that the president attends. Generally speaking, listen to this, you only have to reimburse, the DNC only has to reimburse the taxpayers for the cost of a first-class ticket or first-class travel. So the largest single airfare expenditure by the DNC was $78,427 for an entire trip, that in this case it was a family vacation, that everybody went, cost more than $200,000 per hour, but the government only got reimbursed $78,000. So, you know, but they all do it. I mean, that's my feeling. You know, it was the same for Bush as it is for Obama, and it'll be the same for Trump or Clinton or Rubio, whoever the next president happens to be. So you can be bemused about it. I don't think outrage is particularly called for in this case. But I want to talk more about this topic of whether or not You can rehabilitate people who serve time for drug offenses particularly. And we'll talk much more about politics in this stunning new poll after this. Welcome back, everybody. How are you all doing? It is Tuesday, November the 3rd. It is 5 minutes after 11 o'clock. Geraldo Rivera here along with Noam Layden. The big news this morning. Well, there are several items. I just want to mention, I have not been talking about it in great detail, but we do now know that there was a flash. One of our infrared satellites detected a flash over the Sinai at the time that Metrojet, that Russian jetliner, fell from the skies. That flash, to me, and the Pentagon is saying for sure that it was not shot down. In other words, a missile did not take that plane down, unlike the Malaysian airliner that was taken down in eastern Ukraine by Russian-backed separatists. Unlike that situation, in the Sinai, there was a flash. A flash would indicate to me either there was an explosion of an engine, something mechanical, highly unlikely in one of those modern airliners, or, as I believe, an ISIS-backed, either a suicide bomber or a saboteur placed a bomb on board that aircraft, and the flash detected by the infrared satellite was the bomb exploding, which caused the plane then to lose control and to disintegrate in midair at the loss of all 220-odd Russians on board, mostly Russians on board. ISIS claimed responsibility. I have no reason to doubt them. Somebody planted what I believe was a bomb. I mean, we don't know for sure. That's just my experience talking, but I really do believe that that is what happened. In the previous hour, we were talking about the president's visit to Integrity House. Integrity House, a state-funded, New Jersey-funded drug residential treatment center. The president thought that the facility was a model for the good work that's being done, but only sporadically around the nation. The president, while he was there, met with former prisoners and with a parole officer, also a federal judge, to talk more about what are some of the obstacles to rehabilitation. Now, I love when the president gets involved in these domestic issues. I wish he had done and would do and will do more of it, particularly when it comes to youngsters who have taken the wrong road. Maybe the president can be a surrogate dad in a way he has not yet been. I would love to see him really step up to the plate in that regard. But what do you think? What do you think about the president's proposals or his promotion of a system wherein, number one, employers could not determine whether or not a prospective employee had earlier been convicted of a crime, served time in jail, making a bigger pitch for rehabilitation, drug rehab as an alternative to prison, drug rehab programs like Integrity House, and we'll speak with somebody, the president of Integrity House, shortly. But in the meantime, from Brooklyn, here's Ricardo on the line. Hey, Ricardo, how you doing?
Yes, Ronald. I first met you in Barnegat Bay, New Jersey, and just because you opened up talking about the KKK, you were there because there was a white supremacist rally, and all hell broke loose. This was probably back in the 70s, and I was
How about that?
I was a news director of a college radio station back then. I don't know.
Oh, fascinating. It's so interesting. 27 years ago, mate.
Right.
So how have you fared in the meantime?
I was there as a college news director because a judge had let me out of jail in Freehold, New Jersey, to attend Brookdale Community College, where I became the news director there. So I believe in giving people a second chance, but I also believe what the older lady said, that veterans should be given preference for a lot of these jobs over anybody, not just former substance abusers and former inmates.
All right. Ricardo, so how you doing now?
I'm doing all right, and I can attest that you can fight.
I appreciate that. Yeah. That's probably why I'm not on the five more often.
I'm waiting for the next fight.
Yeah. Okay, Bob from Integrity House is on the line. So, Bob, how are you doing? It must have been electrifying for your residents to see the president. This is Bob Butsock, president of Integrity House. How are you doing?
Great. Good morning, Geraldo. It was a once in a lifetime opportunity, And Integrity has been around since 1968, providing opportunities for individuals to reclaim their lives. And being recognized with a presidential visit is probably one of the most special things that has ever happened here at Integrity House.
We heard Ricardo earlier saying that he remembered my visit back in 1968, the president's visit, far more significant. I can imagine that the people that he actually met and shook hands with and listened to their stories and told some of his advice will be people that maybe changed forever.
Yeah, it was absolutely a memorable visit. I know I had some time with the president. I had the opportunity to greet him when he first came to Integrity House. And he asked a little bit about the history of Integrity House. I explained that, you know, we were founded in 1968 by a parole officer that was frustrated with the issue of recidivism. And he actually started with a small house with five clients that were his former parolees. And he set out with a vision and a passion to make sure that they lived a drug-free, sober life and did not return to prison. Today, we serve over 2,000 people a year, and we have multiple programs. And the president was very excited to hear about
it. Give me one anecdote. Give me one anecdote of the president having an interchange with one of your people.
I think the president was very, very friendly, and the interactions that he had with our folks here at Integrity, he just spoke to me briefly, but he spoke to our clients, and he tried to make them feel at ease, and many of them spoke about the struggles that they have had, and he was very reassuring that everyone deserves a second chance. And he was happy that these individuals were taking advantage of the opportunity that's been presented to them.
Bob Butsock, the president of Integrity House, who yesterday hosted the president of the United States. You know, I think that everybody deserves a second chance, Bob. But, you know, I've been around the block long enough that I've seen second chances and third chances and fourth chances. And then at what point do you give up? You know, it's a very hard row to hoe. And, you know, I grew up with the expression, once a junkie, always a junkie. Is that true?
That is absolutely not true. And I also believe that you never give up. That, human life is precious, and that you never give up on individuals, because miracles happen here at Integrity House every day. We have individuals that have gotten second chances, third chances, and fourth chances. I have had second chances in my life. And everyone deserves a second chance. And we see people rebuilding their lives every day at Integrity House. And to hear Ricardo speak earlier was just, you know, I felt that. And I felt that he got a second chance and he took advantage of it. And that's why we exist here at Integrity House.
What do you think about the president's idea? Before I let you go, Bob Butsock of Integrity House yesterday hosting the president of the United States in Newark. He later went to Rutgers at Newark for a quick, I think even a surprise visit before coming for a fundraiser here to Manhattan. What do you think about the situation where the president now is saying ban the box? In other words, not letting prospective employers know that a prospect had served time in jail until late in the employment process. What do you think of that idea, Bob?
So, Geraldo, there are four pillars to recovery. One is the addiction treatment, which we do work very well here at Integrity House. The other is making sure that folks have safe, affordable, and supportive housing. The third is making sure they have a support network that's going to help them sustain recovery. And the fourth is making sure that they are back to work and employed. And we have individuals here at Integrity House that are employed in the city of Newark and the surrounding area, and we have many employers that believe in what we do, and they believe in giving individuals second chances. And
comment to that. Okay, I lied. One more question for you, and I don't mean to interrupt, but before I lose time here, I got to ask you about this heroin epidemic and all these white folks again, middle-class white folks, using drugs. It's leading to a spike in the death rate among middle-class white people. What the hell's going on?
So we have an epidemic here in New Jersey that opiates are highly, highly addictive. Many individuals are initially introduced to those opiates through a prescription, which may be prescribed for legitimate purposes. But if an individual has the propensity to become addicted after a week on prescribed opiates, they want more. They'll either go after more of the opiates or they'll quickly turn to the much cheaper and more highly available heroin that's on the streets.
So and heroin on the street is more available than in the drugstore? Than an
yes.
opiate? That's it. That's why.
Yes, it is. You know, we've made some great efforts to tighten up the prescribers here in the state of New Jersey. However, we're in the midst of an epidemic, and yes. individuals are quickly turning from prescription drugs to the street of heroin opiate.
Bob Butsock, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for going on. Continue the good work, and congratulations on a successful presidential visit yesterday.
Thank you, Geraldo.
Okay, buddy. Brian in New Jersey is on the line. Hey, Brian, tell us a little bit about yourself. What's up?
My name is Brian. I'm a chief of police in Bergen County. And I just got back from Chicago.
Are you my chief of police? You're the chief of police in Bergen?
Yeah.
Wow. Give me your number.
I'm sorry?
Give me your telephone number. But you just got back from where?
Chicago, the International Association of Chiefs of Police. We had our conference here. As a matter of fact, the president addressed us at the General Assembly last week. And as a matter of fact, I felt it was very pro-law enforcement. Which was nice.
That is nice.
I will mention that I am also a drug recognition expert. I've been dealing with people that have been under the influence of drugs for many, many years. And just a couple of things that you were talking about. There's nobody in these jails that are in there for minor drug offenses. There's conditional discharge programs and PTI throughout the country. So usually the ones that are in jail on drug offenses are usually ones that have been numerous arrests and probably connected with some sort of theft, burglaries, and so forth. So
you think this whole notion of giving nonviolent drug offenders a second chance may be naive because there are so few of them in jail?
They have had the second, third, and fourth chances. Again, I don't think there's many people in jail and just minor drug offenses because of numerous drug offenses. There's fines and so forth. But I'm not against rehab at all. I think it's great that people try to get better. I really do. The question about not disclosing your criminal history to prospective employers is it's going to be a tough call. And again, I'm not against drug treatment. I think it's good. I think the recidivism rate is unbelievable. And the drug addicts that I've dealt with over the years, every one of them is falling back from one time or the other.
Yeah, it's rough. It's a rough. Once you get that way, man, it's hard to fight back.
And a matter of fact, when you were talking about the heroin, it's the addiction for these young kids. It's just above them. They can't deal with it. It's too much for them to cope with. And but going back to what I was talking about, the not disclosing criminal history to prospective employers, it's going to be the onus of the employer that if they do hire something, they have to be prepared for a relapse, and hope if they're offering some sort of medical benefits to these people, it's going to be them that are going to be paying for it. So that's just my opinion.
It's rough. I thank you for the dose of realism. Let me ask you, just to change the subject before I let you go, Chief, what do you think of Quentin Tarantino and the budding police boycott of his movies after where he said calling cops murderers?
Everybody's entitled to their opinions, and everybody's entitled not to go to his movies. So that's what I'm going to do.
That's the way I see it. Okay, Chief, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, man. Donald Trump speaking right now. He's pushing his book.
I just think we need tremendous energy.
America is his book.
Because we need a person that has tremendous personal energy to get us back on track. You can't do that when you don't have that. I think Marco is highly overrated, highly overrated. He doesn't have it. And all you have to do is look at his stance on things. Jeb, he lacks the quality that you need. We're talking about everybody in the world is ripping us off. You need a very strong person with tremendous energy. Thank you very much, folks. I'll take the job. But it's so important. And by the way, Ben Carson does not have that energy. We need somebody with tremendous energy to straighten out the military, to straighten out ISIS, to straighten out our horrible trade deals, to terminate Obamacare and come up with something far better for far less money. You need somebody with tremendous personal energy as president. We have a president right now that doesn't have energy. I mean, you think Obama has energy? He has no energy. And he's been a horrible president. We need somebody with great personal energy as a leader so that we can make great deals with other countries and do well in every other respect. And certainly Jeb does not have that energy, in my opinion.
Pushing his book, Crippled America, Donald Trump holding, I think it was an impromptu press conference, but
from
he's,
the Guardian.
He's at it.
They treat me very nicely in Scotland. Go ahead.
He says he predicted he was going to win the Hispanic vote. I wanted to tell us in more detail how he intends to do that. Dr. Jeffrey Berman, an addictions specialist, just happens to be on the line. He was hopped in his car, heard our previous discussion. So, Dr. Berman, what is, first of all, do you agree that we have a new 1970s style heroin epidemic on our hands?
No, I don't believe that, actually, Harold. I think it's much worse this time. I think,
really? Wow.
We're seeing people who are coming in using heroin who you never would have suspected would even go near heroin, would go into the places you need to acquire heroin. And it's hit the middle class, it's hit the upper middle class. And the chief of police was right, and I think your comments were right, that people are getting involved through, some are entering through, the route of prescription medications. Some prescribers are not responsible. The vast majority are, and we are taking, as a medical community and through the leadership of the State Board of Medical Examiners and the Department of Consumer Affairs, we're making efforts to monitor prescribing and make sure that there is not misprescribing and overprescribing.
But then how is it that smart people, they're not on the fringes of society. These are people who are organized. They have structure in their life. They have families. They have jobs often. How are they so stupid as to start shooting up heroin?
What happens is that people enter into the use of heroin often, as was stated, through the use of prescription medication. That's probably the route that they took. And once they're hooked, it's a very hard thing for people to come forward and admit that they have a problem. And for a while, they rationalize, I can control it, I can keep it under control. You know, and in the 12-step recovery, people who go to AA and NA have an expression that says, alcohol and drugs are cunning, baffling, and powerful. And it's that baffling part that's really the problem.
So right now, give me some idea of scope, of scale. I hear in New Hampshire, after the economy, heroin is going to be the number two issue. Give me an idea of scale.
Okay, so in terms of an order of magnitude, we estimate epidemiologically that about 8% of the population at one time in their life or another has a problem with alcohol. But we also estimate that about 4 to 5% of the population, and it may be higher, has a problem with another substance. Well, 5% of Americans is about 17.5 million people at one point in their lives. That's an awful lot of people. And here in the state of New Jersey, we're seeing there's no shortage of patients. If we cured everybody who walked through our doors, we'd still be busy for the next 15 years because most people never get help. And that's the sad part, when help is available.
So how do you get help, quick?
So treatment means accessing someone who's an addictions professional, either an addiction psychiatrist or a treatment center that's known to treat addictions. We also have biological treatments, in other words, medication that helps. And I'm not talking about Suboxone now. I'm talking about medications like Vivitrol, blocking drugs, which people can take once by injection and not have to use and not be able to use. So the treatment is there if people seek it.
Dr. Jeffrey Berman, I appreciate the call. Thanks, mate.
You're very welcome.
All right, let me hear some more from Trump, Crash.
It's a laughing stock of it. Worst deal, worst contract I've ever seen drawn. We have no victories, and I do write about it. We need some pomp
about
and
Iran,
circumstance.
The Iran
we need
deal.
Spirit. We need a cheerleader. I thought 7 years ago when Obama got elected, the one thing I thought that he would be a great cheerleader for the country, he's not. He's been a great divider for the country. He has been one of the great dividers of all time.
All right, I'll take your calls on the issue of whether drug rehab, as the president proposes it, will make any difference. Do you think this is a major issue also? And then I am still both mystified and impressed by the performance of Dr. Ben Carson in the latest Wall Street Journal, NBC News poll. Dr. Carson up 29 to Trump's 23. What is going on?
I would say I don't see threats. I mean, whatever it is I have to do. Mark is saying, what are the top threats, let's say, to your candidacy? Who knows? I mean, you're in a crazy world of politics. People change their minds. I'm going to make America great again. Nobody else is going to be able to do that. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it, in my opinion,
interesting how
better
CNN
than ever
is sticking with the
and
Trump press conference. Fox News has
tough to compete with.
And left the billionaire businessman book, behind, gone back to regular programming. CNN knows that Trump is ratings magic, so they're staying with him. I just want to we'll dip back to Trump. I'll get to your calls momentarily about our previous topic. I just have to say that in Kentucky and in Indiana, they are reeling by the release, the release of an alleged list of KKK members, alleged KKK members that include the mayor of Lexington, Kentucky, in horse country, but also he's a Democrat, by the way. His name is Jim Gray. He denies that he's a member of the KKK. Also, it hit Senator Dan Coats of Indiana, a Republican, and alleged that he's a member of the KKK. Anonymous, you know, Anonymous. It's that that group of hackers. They are promising to unleash a social media campaign against the KKK beginning tomorrow, November 4th. They have the hashtag Hoods Off, and they list. This is going to be all hell to pay. It's just it's interesting that on the anniversary, you know, of my 27th anniversary of my rumble with the KKK and the skinheads in my studio, they're releasing, Anonymous is releasing this list of alleged KKK members that includes very obviously some elected officials. I wonder if it's real. What do you think?
Well, what do they have on them? I mean, what other information are they releasing?
There's a list that they were. Yeah, what more do you need if someone's a member of the KKK?
But you have to prove that.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they have to prove it, but it is fascinating. Let me see.
I mean, did they steal the list from the KKK? Is that where they're getting it from? I mean,
the internal list? Online Activist Network said last week it would expose Ku Klux Klan members and publish personal details about alleged KKK adherents. Where they got the information, I don't know, but it's certainly going to be a fascinating day for a lot of politicians.
Yeah, the one thing I can say is this group is usually on target. I mean, the information they have is usually correct. So
I hate to agree with that, but you're absolutely right. If Anonymous puts it out there, generally speaking, I mean, it's like the Ashley Madison stuff.
Right.
Remember the people using the adultery website? Everybody was denying it, and then people started committing suicide. Here's Rich in Madison. Hey, Rich, what's going on in Wisconsin? It's election day.
Actually, it's Rick in Madison, and it's in New Jersey.
Madison, New Jersey. It's election day in New Jersey also. What's up?
Yeah, I'm working the polls here in Chatham. Pathetic turnout. After I give you my...
What are people voting for? I don't even know. What's on the ballot?
In Chatham and most of New Jersey, it's General Assembly, the mayor, town council, town committee. I don't think anybody's running for senator here in Morris County, but I can't speak for the rest of the state. But out of our district with 1,130 registered voters, so far today we've only had 15 voters, and the polls have been open since 6 o'clock this morning, Geraldo. A pathetic turnout. Americans better get involved in their country and realize that it's their patriotic duty to come out and vote. Can I please make a comment about Obama's program?
Have at it, Rich.
All right. It's interesting to note that President Obama is concentrating on drug addicts and potential Democrat voters. Why doesn't he release and shorten the sentences of people that actually have skills, like white-collar criminals, accounting fraud, people that have tax fraud, people that maybe have been in violation of EPA regulations, or perhaps Tea Party people that have been put in prison. Why doesn't he let white people out of prison that can vote?
I like that idea. I mean, some of them are not white, but I like the idea regardless of I think that those nonviolent criminals, they have no business in jail. What was Bernie Kerik in jail for? What exactly was accomplished by putting this wonderful man behind bars when he could have been helping people out? It's just ridiculous.
Who's going to pay for the housing? Obama's talking about getting these people housing in addition to training. Who's going to pay for their apartments, Geraldo? Middle class?
So let me ask you why you are volunteering today. Just curious.
I've been doing this for 10 years. I'm a Wall Street guy. I used to trade options on the floor of the Amex. I'm an applications consultant. I make six figures a year. But every election, I volunteer. We do get paid. But I volunteer my time because it's a patriotic thing to do to help in the voting process. And they need poll workers in New Jersey. And guess what? You get a check for $200. It's free of tax. And it's the easiest $200 you make. You come in at about 5 o'clock in the morning. You're done at 8 o'clock at night. It's a long day. But in one day, you make $200 tax-free, and you participate in the American electoral system.
I like it, man. Congratulations. I'm glad you're doing it. I have to say, though, I always vote. But I only vote when I know what it's about. You know, it's obvious next year is a critical vote. The presidential cycle always is. And the last year was important because of Congress. So all of Congress gets the House of Representatives anyway is all voted on last year. The mayor's elections here in New York, they are also on odd years. We have 2017 is the next one here. That'll be a big year. But today I don't even know who. I guess city council maybe.
Yeah, you got
city council
in New York. You don't have city council. I don't think
so
there's any.
What
city
do we
council
have? What do we have
for in New York? That's a great question. I mean, nothing major comes to mind. You have some of these small town elections, but you know, look. This is the argument that's made, and it's a legit argument, but nobody buys it. They want a sexy national race. But the fact of the matter is that the races that are going on in so many of these towns today more directly impact you than a national race. I mean, if you're voting for a city council member, that's voting for somebody who's going to vote on taxes, raising school taxes, that kind of thing. So, you know, I think you make the argument
it's more important.
I think voting
should be mandatory. I think voting should be mandatory, but I'm not sure it should be mandatory for all elections every year. It wouldn't be a bad idea. Maybe you should get paid to vote. I'm not sure. I just hate that the mayor, that Bill de Blasio became mayor with 18% of New Yorkers voting for him. It just seems such a, you know, preposterously low amount to determine the destiny of 100% of New Yorkers. Okay, here's what the election in Election Day. Well, he didn't. And show me New York. I don't know where.
Yeah, New Jersey have all these state offices. That, you know, the legislature. All those seats are up for grabs, but none of them are even competitive because a lot of times they're not even running against anybody. I mean, there's a few that are competitive, but not many.
I still can't find out what the hell. All right, New Jersey is the state legislature.
Right.
Not in New York, though. Not in New York. Just in New Jersey. We'll find New York. We'll find out what it is. Trump, amazing how they kept him on, and he was pushing the book. Crippled America. I'm not crazy about that title. It seems, you know, for a guy who's going to be a big cheerleader, it seems like a big bummer of a title. But I'm sure with all the attention he's getting, you know, he could hold a press conference every hour. I'm still fascinated as to why you have a situation where Ben Carson is surging so much. But, okay, here is Willie in New Jersey. Thanks for your patience, Willie.
Hey,
what's on your mind, buddy?
How you doing, guy?
Thanks for calling.
Before, I just want to say one thing about that guy that crashed into them people up in the Bronx.
Right, on Morris Park Avenue, yeah.
I mean, the guy had a history, or supposedly has a history, of passing out or whatever the hell.
Seizures.
He shouldn't be driving.
I agree.
And he should be put in prison. That's not an excuse. If you're not capable of doing that, you shouldn't do it. End of story. I don't care what his problem.
Well, here's what I want to find out. Did he fully disclose his medical condition? Well, hold on, Willie. Did this guy fully disclose his medical condition to the people that gave him his driver's license? If not, I agree with you. I agree with you. He had no business driving.
Even if he did.
And that three innocent people are dead, including a child.
You know, if he would have had a stroke or an aneurysm or something, that's not controllable. But if you have an ongoing condition, give it up, man. You got to stop driving. That's it. But let me talk about the drugs. You know, I grew up in Staten Island, and unfortunately, I had associates, acquaintances, whatever, who were drug addicts that weren't worth the powder to blow them to hell, in plain English. You know, they came from a white homes that, you know, they had everything going for them and all that stuff, and they screwed their life up taking drugs. My father worked the shift, you know, he did the, down the shipyard, he did the shape. We're lucky we ate sometimes, you know, and in like around 1964, 65, a guy came up to me with a bag of Tylenol, second, I don't know what the hell they were, and he says to me, I want a quarter a piece from him. He wanted me to deal him. I told him, rub him on your chest. Now, I had no money and nothing like that, but I'm not going to make money that way. I went and worked and made $1 an hour, worked in a store, and the guy gave me cologne for working for the day, all of that. These guys are looking for the easy way out. A lot of them have psychological problems that get hooked on these drugs and all this stuff. If they're going to let people out, then they should have a sponsor. They should have some kind of sponsor that's going to
That's a great
give
idea.
Them a job, give them a job and make sure that they're there every day working. You know what I mean?
I like that. I got to let you go, Willie. I like the idea of a sponsor. I like the idea of sponsors for undocumented immigrants or immigrants also. I like that idea of getting some grounding in the community where some private citizen is the first resort, your first fallback. That's your first. Rather than going to the government, you go to the person that sponsored you. I think that's a great idea. I think it'll give much more of a societal grounding to some of these ideas. And what I like about it as a Republican is it emphasizes private responsibility, private initiative, which works so much better than the government getting involved ham-handedly, as they usually do. 5 minutes to high noon with Donald Trump taking all the air out of the room, almost unnoticed. A brand new poll today out of New Hampshire, the first in the nation primary voting, as opposed to the Iowa caucuses, which happens the week before. But the second week in February coming up, just over 3 months from now, is the New Hampshire primary. Bernie Sanders is from neighboring Vermont. He led, and this was big news when it was announced. He had a 15-point lead, according to the CBS YouGov poll last month. Bernie Sanders had a 15-point lead over Hillary Clinton. Guess what? There's a new Monmouth University survey released just now. Clinton, 48, Sanders, 45. So Hillary Clinton has surged past Bernie Sanders in New Hampshire. Now, obviously, we still have a long way to go, but this is all about Joe Biden dropping out. This is all about her performance, both at the Benghazi hearings and in the first debate. But if Bernie Sanders can't win in New Hampshire, he's not going to win anywhere. And now you have a situation where Hillary Clinton is leading Bernie Sanders. She's going to be the nominee. I still think it's going to be Trump. I don't. Everyone else says it's going to be Rubio or Cruz or one of the establishment politicians, but I don't know. I want to see what happens now with this whole book tour business and all the rest of it. We'll have Trump on the program. I think we'll have him on the program early next week. I can bring everybody up to date. Well, maybe I can get him before the end of this week. It's only Tuesday. So I'll make a call to Trump, but I am very, very impressed by Hillary's surge, and I think that the Republicans really have to get their act together. They're going to beat that lady now.
You know, and I think Donald Trump's got to get a whole lot more specific. As I was listening to him today when we were playing parts of that press conference, there's a mantra of people being terrible and people not having energy, and I'm hearing it over and over again. And my gut tells me, if I'm starting getting tired of hearing that, then maybe the people who support him are getting tired of hearing that as well. And so I think that we got to hear more substance from him over the next month or so, or maybe we'll see that fade, even though you don't think it might happen. It could happen.
All right, Noam's point is what we'll talk about tomorrow. See you then.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming?
Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.